This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Self-will. To my Father I depart, from earth to heaven ascending, and heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble he will comfort you, and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you.
Let's briefly look at the context. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is preparing his 12 disciples to go out and to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. He gives them authority over unclean spirits or demons to cast them out. He gives them the authority to heal every disease and affliction. And he instructs them on the mission details, such as locations, items, and how to interact with individuals and also with towns. In verses 16 through 33, Jesus shifts the focus from the immediate mission to the broader implications of what it means to follow him. He speaks of challenges and persecutions that his followers will certainly face, but also speaks of the provision and the care that God will provide for his children. Jesus here uses vivid imagery likening his disciples to sheep in the midst of wolves. This metaphor serves as a reminder that Christians will often find ourselves in hostile environments. And this image of the sheep among wolves was very common in the ancient world. It was used to describe a situation of extreme danger and helplessness. In this context, the wolves were the enemies of believers, especially the Jewish religious leaders who were here at this time. But in the face of such opposition, Jesus instructs his followers to be as wise or as crafty as serpents, but to be as innocent as doves. The Greek words used here for wise and innocent, they convey the idea of being both prudent, but also very observant and clever on the one hand, but yet harmless and blameless on the other. So he wants his disciples to be sharp, to be discerning, but also to be steadfast in their righteousness. Jesus predicted that his followers would face persecution, including being taken to the religious courts and the civil courts. And he speaks of deep divisions in the gospel message will cause even within families. But despite these challenges, Jesus assures his disciples that they will be given the words to speak when they need to by God the Holy Spirit. Now, some mistakenly believe that this means believers do not have to prepare to present the gospel because God will take over, he will automate us and take care of everything. That's not what it's saying. Scripture teaches over and over again that we are to make carefully prepared, thoughtful statements, Colossians 4:6 and dozens of other passages. What Jesus is saying is to his followers here, study my word, be prepared, but stop worrying about it. Despite these challenges, Jesus promises salvation to anyone who endures to the end. And he says this in verse 22. And this is a common theme, hupomone, or endurance, we find throughout the New Testament. And it symbolizes a steadfast and perseverance in the face of trials, which is a hallmark of genuine faith. Standing firm to the end is not a good work that you and I do in order to be saved. All it is evidence that a person was really committed to Jesus all along. And so persistence is not a means to earn salvation. It's merely the byproduct of a truly devoted life to Jesus. In verses 23 through 31, Jesus shifts the focus from persecution to the provision that God offers his followers. He says that when you face persecution in one town, you should flee to the next. Now, this instruction to flee may seem at odds with his other instruction to stand firm in the faith. Which one is it? Jesus want them to stand firm in the faith or to flee? Well, the answer is both. It demonstrates Jesus' concern for the well-being of his followers and also the prudence of preserving their lives for furthering the gospel. Don't throw away your lives foolishly. And really, in the vast majority, from what I've studied of persecution scenarios and from what I know from self-defense situations, the best solution is almost always to flee if you can safely do so. Jesus also reminds his disciples of their relationship with him. He says, "You are not above your teacher or master." In other words, if the world has rejected and maligned Jesus up until this point, and it had, his followers should expect the same, indeed, much worse treatment. However, once again, Jesus says they need not fear, for all hidden things will be revealed, and God's truth will triumph. In verse 28, Jesus emphasizes the importance of where we prioritize our reverence, where we place our fear of God, or with fear of those who can physically harm us. Jesus concludes this section with a reminder of the Father's care for his children. And he uses the example of sparrows, birds that were considered of little value in the ancient world and the modern world, to emphasize that God intimately knows and cares for each one of us. In God's eye, you do not get lost in the crowd. The text says that the very hairs on our head are all numbered. And in this way, Jesus encourages his followers to trust in God's provision and protection, knowing that God knows every detail of our lives and that he is especially there with us by the power of the Holy Spirit when we are undergoing trials and persecutions. In other words, sparrows will die and they will fall to the ground. God's people will die, sometimes by martyrdom. But yet God places such value on us, we need not to fear personal threats and we need not to fear trials in our future. In verses 32 through 33, Jesus highlights the importance of confessing our faith in him before others. And he promises that those who acknowledge him before other people will be acknowledged by him before his Father in heaven. And this teaching serves as a sobering reminder of the eternal consequences of our public confession of faith in Jesus. As we face opposition and, God forbid, persecution, it is important that by God's grace we stand firm in our commitment to Christ and boldly profess our allegiance to him no matter what. Fast forward to the modern day, and let's look at some applications from this. I'm going to give you at least seven. There's more that we could, but for the sake of time, let's consider 7 points and expand upon them from the text. The first application would be to embrace both wisdom and innocence in spiritual discernment. Embracing wisdom and innocence. This concept of embracing wisdom and innocence, or being clever as a serpent and harmless as a dove, is a very interesting cause. It's telling you and I not to be simpletons. For us to navigate the complexities of the modern world with a balance of shrewdness and insight, but also with purity, reflecting the intelligence of serpents dealing with evil, but also the innocence and the gentleness of doves. This dual approach is really hard for some people to grasp. Either they're a dove or they're a snake, one or the other. That's not what he's saying. This dual approach can be better understood by breaking it down, I think, into two components. First of all, Christians must be wise and aware of our surrounding culture, aware of our certain political climate, our society, in order to effectively share the gospel. A wise Christian should be able to discern and understand the motivations and the influences that shapes people's beliefs and actions. That takes wisdom and prudence. Should be able to discern and adapt our personal approach to different situations and people while maintaining the integrity of the gospel message. Discerning and recognizing when to speak, when not to speak, based on the urgency of the context and also the receptiveness of the audience. Does it matter how true it is what you have to say? If they're not willing to hear it, don't say it. And next, discern and identify potential dangers or challenges and ask God for wisdom from His Word on how to navigate those challenges with foresight and with prudence and with discretion. But not only should we possess wisdom and righteousness, Jesus says, we also must embrace, on the other hand, the gentleness, innocence, and the harmlessness of a dove. That involves living by biblical principles no matter what society or culture says, no matter how unpopular or how difficult it is. It also means trying to avoid any form of deceit or manipulation or other unethical means in order to achieve desired outcomes. It means showing love and kindness and compassion in difficult situations, and also striving to build genuine relationships with other like-minded Christians. And so embracing this concept of discernment and innocence, it enables Christians to stay true to their faith and the teachings of Jesus while successfully navigating the complexities of a modern world. It also allows us to avoid compromising our faith or causing harm to other people, which would undermine the Christian message and the Christian witness. The second one is trust the Holy Spirit. The challenges and persecutions that we face as Christians can sometimes leave us feeling overwhelmed and uncertain of the future. In these moments, it's essential that we do not rely upon our own strength, but upon the guidance and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus promised His disciples, the Spirit would give them the words to speak and the wisdom to act whenever they were facing opposition. Once again, this does not mean that you and I should not carefully study our Bibles, but rather we should be confident that God will bless the word that we have studied. By trusting in the Holy Spirit, we can confidently stand firm in the faith as an effective witness to Jesus, even in adversity. The third point or application is maintain an eternal perspective. That's one of the reasons we gather together here on Sundays every week, is to maintain an eternal perspective. As Christians, we must regularly remind ourselves of the eternal perspective that Jesus calls for us to view the world by. In a world that prizes the temporal and the material, it's very easy to be consumed by immediate concerns and physical needs and fears. However, Jesus reminds us our ultimate allegiance is to God, who has the authority over both our bodies and souls. Focusing on God's kingdom helps us to navigate this world far better than simply focusing upon the world. The fourth principle is seeking refuge in God's care. When we face trials and inevitably persecution, it's natural to feel fearful and vulnerable. Yet Jesus reminds us of the care of the Heavenly Father has for each one of us, and that during our difficulties that you and I can completely trust that God will provide for us and he will protect us with full awareness of our needs and circumstances. The fifth application is followers of Jesus is we are called to boldly confess our faith in him before others. The Christian faith is not something that you and I should keep hidden or private, but rather we should share it openly. And in a world that increasingly marginalizes and outright rejects Jesus, confessing our faith in him in season and out of season can sometimes be a challenging task. It requires courage, conviction, and a willingness to face opposition. However, Jesus promises that those who confess him before others will be acknowledged by him before the Father in heaven on the great last day of judgment. When you and I confess our faith in Jesus, whether it's explicitly or even implicitly, we are making a very clear statement about our beliefs and priorities. We are declaring our allegiance to the kingdom of God. But Jesus also warns that those who are embarrassed of him, those who deny him before others, he said, will be denied before my Father in heaven. Once again, that means that our decision to either publicly stand for Jesus or against Jesus will have eternal consequences. The sixth one is persevere in the faith. Jesus promised that the one who endures to the end will be saved serves as a reminder of the importance of perseverance. Again, it's important to remember that this is more than simply a good work or striving on our part. And a lot of Christians are confused about this. It is God who is the one who sustains the believers in our faith. It is God who's the one who gives us faith and the ability to actually do good deeds. It is not something that we achieve by our own efforts, striving, or willpower. It is something that God is pleased to work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. As Paul writes in Philippians 1:6, he who has begun a good work in you will carry it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And the seventh is the last, is to find encouragement in the Christian community. As Christians, all of us, if we have any semblance of faithfulness, will inevitably face trials that can leave us feeling isolated and alone. And in these moments, it's important to find the encouragement of a Christian community. And this means leaning on the support of fellow believers who can offer comfort and prayer and practical help. What a lot of people have trouble grasping, it seems like, particularly younger people and younger couples, is that having a strong Christian community in place is extremely important whenever a young family or any family faces some great unexpected trial or, God forbid, loss and grief. None of us here know when hardship is going to hit. So it's important to build up wise relationships and connections with other Christians before we need their help. In Christian community, we can find a sense of belonging and purpose. We can share our struggles and our joy with other peoples, being reminded that we are not alone in our journey of faith. We can also learn from one another, both the good and the bad, growing in our understanding of God's word and his will for our lives. And we can find strength in knowing that we are part of a larger body of believers, united as one and in our commitment to serving our Lord and Savior. In closing, our Lord has given us two great promises in our text today. The first one is the sobering promise of persecution, and the second one is the joyful promise of provision. Applying these seven principles will help us grow closer to Christ and will make us more effective in sharing the hope and truth of the gospel as we await his second coming. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Greg Cumbie. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.